draw Moses out. We know this story, many of you do, very well. The story of Moses being placed in a basket, the basket covered in mud and pitch, placed into a river, and then Pharaoh's daughter seeing the basket, having her maids bring it to her, opening it, seeing the baby crying, asking for the baby to be nursed by the baby's own mother, and then raising him as her own. When we hear this story, usually we think about what happens to Moses next. We think about how Moses is going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we know from this that Moses represents the law or the doctrine from Word, the doctrine that teaches and leads us. Think of the law in your life. Not just the law, the civil law, but the Lord's law, the Ten Commandments. That's usually the perspective that we approach this story, thinking about Moses. But pause for a moment, maybe just this morning, and think about what it was like for Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter was raised by an evil, evil man. Pharaoh is evil, and he represents terrible things. Pharaoh's daughter grew up believing false things, worshiping false gods and idols. Pharaoh's daughter has a terrible background. She knows all sorts of wrong-headed things. You can think about her being raised by Pharaoh. You'd think she would be a bad guy, just like Pharaoh. And yet, what does she do when she sees baby Moses? She takes pity on him. When she sees the baby and the baby's crying, she takes pity on him. She treats him with grace and kindness and eventually raises him as her own. What a remarkable thing. What is it that changed Pharaoh's daughter? We know from the heavenly doctrine that Pharaoh and Egypt represent falsity, and not just any falsity, but the kind of falsity that you just grow up assuming is true, or the kind of falsity that you look around and confirm by the way things normally or naturally appear. Like things naturally appear one way, so you think, ah, this must be true. Further, that kind of falsity leads to evil. There are innumerable examples of this. Ask your parents. Some of them are pretty terrible. Just for yourself, though, you can think about how when you look at something that you own, like a toy, you think, this is mine. It seems apparently true. It's naturally true. It's yours. But is that a truth? Or is that just a fact? Is it important that the object is yours? Or is it just something that happens to be true that you know? It's not terribly important that the toy is yours. There are more important, higher truths. But if you worship that lower truth, that the toy is mine, you will have no friends, because nobody will want to be with you, because you won't share. Now, that's a very simple, low-level example. A higher example would be to think, I need to take care of myself. And it's true. You need to take care of your teeth by brushing them. You need to take care of your body by cleaning it and getting enough sleep and enough to eat. You are the first thing in time that you should take care of. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you fall apart. You die. So take care of yourself. But is that the most important thing? Is the most important thing to take care of yourself? Now that's another level up. You know that you're supposed to take care of yourself so that you can love others. But now think about religion. Think about the truths you've learned from the Word, that you've learned from your parents, that you've learned from the Word, and think about how you relate to them. Do you like knowing things from the Word because it makes you feel smart? Do you like lording it over others, saying, "I know this story, do you?" When you answer a question in class, do you think, "Aha, I know the truth"? Well, that's a kind of religiosity. That's a kind of knowing religion and having it, but not really living it. In fact, it's leading you to evil, because it's merely external. That's the world of Pharaoh. Pharaoh and Egypt have lots of knowledges. The land of Egypt at this time, around 1000 BC, or 1500 BC, we don't know exactly when, but they were really smart. Some of the smartest people on the planet. But they were incredibly foolish. They had lots of knowledge about construction, about irrigation, about farming and sailing and war and trade. They knew how to raise animals for all sorts of uses. And they could even do magic. But it was all for evil. Egypt was an evil kingdom, led by an evil Pharaoh. And you can see this in our story, because when he sees the children of Israel becoming too many, his inclination is to punish them, enslave them, and perhaps kill them. And he passes a law. And the law is, every son that is born to the children of Israel should be put into the river. He's thinking put into the river in a particularly bad way. And what happens to Moses? He is put into the river, isn't he? But how? This is a basket. You can imagine a basket like this that Moses' mother wove together on the side of the Nile. Then she would have covered it in pitch, black and brown. The reason why she covered it in pitch is so that the waters of the Nile wouldn't sink it. Those waters are the falsity of Egypt. She's worried about all those lies the Egyptians tell about the children of Israel, all the false things they do, how they use their knowledges for evil. That's what she's worried about. She's worried about her son. She doesn't want him to drown. So she puts him in a basket, covers the basket in pitch, and hides him in the river. Then Moses' sister follows the basket. She wants to find out what happens to the little boy. It's a good thing she does, isn't it? And she follows and she follows. And you can imagine being her, following and watching the basket. What will happen next? Meanwhile, Pharaoh's daughter is walking with her handmaidens. And she sees the basket among the bulrushes. And she's curious. The heavenly doctrine tells us that that's what motivates her first. Curiosity. Thinking, what's in there? Maybe you have a curiosity about the Word or about this story, thinking, what's next? That curiosity is a very important thing. So she has her maidens bring her the basket. She picks it up, and she looks at it, and she opens the basket, and she sees the baby crying. She sees the baby crying. The heavenly doctrine tells us that she doesn't just see the baby crying, she senses something divine about the baby, that the Lord's presence is with him. She senses something about God. And she draws the baby out. Now, do you know what I have in this basket? Copy of the Word. Draw Moses out. Curiosity will lead you to investigate. Might bring you to church, might lead you to ask a minister or your parents questions, questions about the word or about the story or about life. And when you ask those questions, you might discover deeper truths, more important truths, higher truths. For instance, if you ask your parents, well, isn't this toy mine? Your parents might say, well, it is yours, but why did the Lord give it to you? Why does the Lord want you to have that toy? And if you think about it, you can draw Moses out. The teaching, the doctrine that you should share with others, the gifts the Lord has given you. If you wonder about your body and how amazing and miraculous it is, that it heals itself, that you can eat and sleep and stay healthy, maybe ask your science teacher or your third and fourth grade teacher, whoever your teacher is, maybe a parent or a friend, or maybe ask the Word itself. Why was I given this body? Is it just because it's a nice tool? Or is there a teaching, something that leads you to loving the neighbor with your body, doing good? And are these truths in the Word, are they just truths? Are they just facts? Are they just things you know? Do you just come to church and gather them up and think, now I know the story, I'm a good Christian, because look at how much stuff I know. Draw Moses out. Bring Moses into your life. Raise Moses into your life. Make him your son. Have an affection for that truth. Be willing to be changed by that truth. Let the Word lead you. Let the Word affect you. Let it change your behavior, your habits, what you do day to day. If the Word isn't changing you, and you're not any different tomorrow than you were yesterday, then you haven't drawn Moses out. He's still crying in the basket. The Lord's Word wants to be in your life. The Lord is constantly knocking, inviting himself, saying, please, let me help you. Draw Moses out. Let the Word affect you. Then you too can be like Pharaoh's daughter, someone raised with all sorts of false and foolish beliefs, but with a lot of knowledge. Jewish tradition has that her name was Batya. It's just tradition. But the Jews believe that because they believe that that means that she is the daughter of the Lord. They venerate her that much. And we know from the heavenly doctrine that Pharaoh's daughter, at the end, is freed from falsity. She's been delivered and liberated. She's free. Draw Moses out. Be free. Amen.